that caught me a bit off guard then. I wasn't really ready. We were still praying, but it's lovely that we're all here this morning. I think it's nice outside, is it? Or is it raining? We saw a rainbow. Danielle saw a rainbow earlier. Yeah, but we're going to have a lovely time inside, aren't we, with Jesus this morning. So, what I've been thinking this week is... Oh, good morning. Even the mobile shouting the praises of Jesus, good morning. That one of my favourite songs, and I listen to Smooth, so I'm very old, I've listened to Smooth Radio, and they play it quite a lot, and it's a George Michael song. And one of the loveliest lines in that song is, "Turn a different corner, and we never would have met." God makes all these connections. And if I'd turned a different corner, I wouldn't have met Jesus. So if you haven't met Jesus in here this morning, this is what we're here for. This is what we have, to make a connection. Don't turn a different corner when you go out of this building and forget. Make that connection this morning. That's what we're here for. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, help us to make connections that are real today. Through you, through the words that are said, through the lyrics in the song, from the conversations we might have at the end of the service. Whatever we hear this morning, make that a real connection with you. Through your Holy Spirit, bring about these conversations. Let us have listening ears, but let's listen in our hearts. Let's really connect with you this morning. That's what we pray for. And we pray this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, above no others. No others above him. We pray this humbly. We ask you to connect with us this morning. Amen. Oh. So, Father, what you did for us, we can't comprehend, we can't understand, and I don't think we're meant to, but it was absolutely you. If I would have been the only person on earth, you would have done it for me. And how amazing is that? Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us, and how thankful we are, because we need to keep you in our lives. We need you to guide us, to nurture us, to care for us, just as we need to nurture and care for each other. We pray that you're always there for us. We know you're always there for us. We thank you so much. Thank you seems inadequate, but we are thankful. I would say we ask you to really reach out to us today, connect with us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. And in your mighty name, amen. Amen. I think it's the lovely count. No? Get up here. Don't say no to me, lady. You'll miss your playtime.
Sorry, Mrs. Dean. Come on. Can you do that to your mates, can't you? Good morning, everybody. It's really good that everyone's here this morning, and a very warm welcome to those who have joined us on YouTube as well this morning. If it's your first time, you're very welcome. Hope you enjoy your time with us, and I'm sure we'll go home feeling blessed this morning. Something that just came to me as Livy was praying about, we come as imperfect people, don't we? And I saw some words, I think it was this morning actually, but anyway. And it said, a perfect place for imperfect people. And that's here, isn't it? Not necessarily the building, lovely as it is, but the presence of God. Because he tells us he'll be here with us, won't he? Hasn't he? So it's good that he's here as well, that God is in the house as well as everyone else. So I do welcome everyone and just hope we have a really good time, which I'm sure we will. Thank you for the worship so far, young Beniel. Beniel? I should have stayed down there, shouldn't I? Daniel and Ben and Jan for the beginning of this service, which has been really lovely. Good choice of songs, love, this morning. Yeah, one for you. We will be taking communion later, and David will be speaking. Sorry, I'm a bit giddy this morning, David. Right, let's get down to business then. Before we say anything else, the shoeboxes were delivered during the week. We had 34, which is really good. So that means that 34 little children will get something this Christmas that they maybe, well, they definitely wouldn't have had. And this scheme is just part of millions. There are millions of boxes that go out, which is absolutely amazing. So thank you, everyone. We've had £8 donations as well, so thank you for that. And also lots of little extras, thank you, Mark, that will go to add to boxes that will be made up later on. So thank you again for that. And for Hazel for organising it all. And David for the delivery. Right, after this morning service at 12 o'clock, we have our church members meeting. So if you can grab a cuppa and then we'll get started as soon as, please. And then prospects are meeting this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Tomorrow, the ladies, Monday the 20th, are meeting at 1:30 down here at church. And on Tuesday, the art playgroup from 10 o'clock to 11:30 and from 1 to 2:30 in the afternoon. And the lunch club will be open again, as always, from 12 o'clock on Thursday. We have got some flyers somewhere around with Christmas events, but all the information on that will be on the website and in newsletters that will be coming out very shortly. Just two things that I need to add to that. Wednesday the 6th of December, the crib blessing at Aston at 6 o'clock, followed by refreshments at All Saints Church. So if you'd like to go up there, I'll keep reminding you, it's not far away, is it? And then on Sunday the 14th of January, I've booked for a church meal at the Phoenix. For anyone who's not sure what this is, for the last few years, we've been going to the Phoenix Sports Club in Brinsworth, just down the road, for a family meal, usually the beginning of December. It's two courses, it will be £15 and £10 for children. No deposits or anything, it's all pay on the day. It's quite a way off yet, but if you could sign up, I put a sheet at the back because they'll need to know numbers. So if you could just have a think about that. Friends and family are welcome. We've been going a few years now and we have a good time. So that's just something to look forward to in the new year. As always, website, Facebook page regularly updated, but of course just give us a ring if there's anything you need to know. Livy.
Hello everybody. So it's that time of year again. If you haven't been with us for long, you won't know, but we do a carol service every year and we do a scratch choir for it. So basically, please come and be in my choir. All of you. Be great if we had more people up here than there are down there. That would be fantastic. You do not need to be the world's most fantastic singer. I won't make you sing on your own, I promise. But we do have a lovely time practicing together and then leading the worship at the carol service. So at the back on the table, there are some little letters that look like this that tell you everything you need to know. You can have a look and you don't have to come. So go and get a letter, have a look and see what it is. We're going to be doing three things as a choir and then lots of carols with the congregation. And we're going to wear black with some purple for Pat, just because she was a massive part of our choir. So, and we miss her. So, yeah. And that's about it. Yes, please. Come and do it with me. That would be lovely. And always looking for instrumentalists as well. So if you don't want to sing, but you'd be up for playing, that would be great too. Thank you.
Before we get started on our sermon this morning, I want to invite David Taylor. David's going to share a bit of testimony of how God's been really working in his life and through others. And he's also going to do the reading for us as well. So, David, thank
you.
Just
you first, Edwards? Yeah. Good morning, church. Good to see you. It's a bit different because most of my life I can remember singing, whistling, annoying people, particularly with the whistling. And that has been part of my life. Most of the songs that I would have sung, yeah, I was in a folk group at one time and I've sung in various places, but they've been worship songs. I remember when I was at college in High Wycombe, I can remember getting back to church one day and a friend in the congregation collared me and said, "When you're walking through High Wycombe, don't sing, whistle, you look silly when you're singing and nobody really knows, they think you're talking to yourself." I remember at school, I was walking to the back of school to pick up a minibus and I could hear this voice singing. Somehow, I'd pressed my mobile phone, gone through to Kenya. I was singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And I got the echo, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And they were joining in Kenya. It's true. Now, when I was during lockdown, we missed church. We missed the sung worship. And coming out of lockdown, I found that the worship was locked in. I couldn't get it out of my head. It wouldn't come out through my mouth. I was singing these songs in my head and I wanted to sing them out loud and I couldn't. Well, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been organising poppy sales in my area. And one of the areas that we sell poppies is at the motorway on the services at Woodall. There's a north side and a south side, and to get from north to south, you cross a bridge. And I was walking to the bridge, and as I put my foot on the bottom step, I suddenly started singing. I suddenly started worshipping. It was incredible. And as I walked across the bridge, as I got to the centre of the bridge, I had to stop and I had to start praying for the motorway corridor, the M1 corridor that runs from London to Leeds, and all the little roads off it, because the M1 feeds the nation. And every time I crossed that corridor, across that bridge, I prayed and I was worshipping. And I've been doing it ever since. That wasn't me doing that. It wasn't me doing that. As I put my foot on that step, I believe the Holy Spirit just loosed my tongue, if you like, and I started singing again. And I started praying. For I just claimed every individual that crossed under that motorway bridge, that the Lord would touch them, that the Holy Spirit would touch them, whether they're going south or whether they're going north. So I don't know what the results of that prayer is, but maybe one day we'll find out. That's my testimony. That's one of my testimonies. I'm going to read to you from Luke's Gospel. And you'll find it, if you've got a pew Bible and you want to follow it in that, it's page 863, Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Jesus heals a centurion's servant. After he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now, a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marvelled at him and turned to the crowd that followed him and said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Thank you. As we come to look at that and what God is saying to us through that today, let us just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we again stand before you, that we're able to hear, we're able to make sense, able to understand all it is that you're saying to us through power of Holy Spirit. So Lord, fill us this morning and anoint us this morning. May your word strike our hearts. May we have ears to be open to hear, eyes open to be able to see, minds able to understand, and our souls to be enriched and enthused with your love, your compassion, and your comfort. We ask this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. So, as you're aware, we're in the middle of a series, seeing God's kingdom, God's way. And you'll know, excuse me, a couple of weeks ago, we started, and it's looking at living through changes in a shifting world. What does that look like? In the world that we live in today, what does it look like living through changes in an ever-shifting world whilst keeping faithful, whilst keeping strong, and keeping on that race that we hear that we're all part of? And a reminder, it's not a sprint, but a marathon to be in it for the long haul, however long that may take. But we don't face it alone, we face it together. And also, just remember, as I shared from the YBA Ministers Conference, and Lynn Green, the General Secretary of Baptist Union, turned around and said that once what we once had has gone and it's not coming back. What we once had has gone and it's not coming back. So then how do we live with changes through an ever-shifting world? Are we just constantly harking on to the past? Because as we said, in the traditional sense, that's declining rapidly. But I also turned around and said, I believe we're bucking the trend. I believe we're bucking the trend in the sense that we're not just focusing on churches Sunday, right here, right now, and this is it, and nothing else. Actually, church in one sense can be 24/7. Not that we operate 24/7, because we'd be wiped out sooner rather than we thought. However, the day-to-day activities, where we journey with people, where we go along with others, where we have activities and groups, other days of the week, other than just Sunday, is all, of course, about being part of church. And I said, as Rob reminded us in a meeting that we had with our regional minister, Nike, looking at some of the stuff of fire starters, which we'll come on to later, Rob hit the nail on the head when he said, it's all of it, all this is being church. This, the whole thing that we do, is church. And church together has been part of that body, with Christ at the head of that. And we all have that part to play within that. And so, as we look this week, want to see the heart of the gospel is Jesus. The heart of the gospel is Jesus. And as we look at that, I think what I want to start by saying is that we all get along better in this world by listening and understanding. And that works in all ways. It should never be an us and them. You listen to us and conform, or vice versa, but finding common ground. And that is often the hardest part of life that we face. Because often in institutions and societies, it is about an us and them. Do you look like us, think like us, dress like us, and act like us? Great, you're in. And if you don't, then you're out. And we don't want to know you. Where the heck does it say that in Scripture? Where did Jesus ever go about and say, nah, you're not for us, sorry, go away? He came to serve and not be served, and he came to save, and he came to all. He was crucified, as we sung in that song. And he laid his life down, but yet he had all authority and power upon heaven and earth to raise it back up again, once and for all. And so I guess in some relationships, you can begin to see the issue in what I've just said. We don't all maybe trust one another, and through that, failure emerges when people push for a different agenda to the flow and the direction of which God is calling us to. That's on a global scale, but it also peters down into our local sense as well, as how we are as church people, as how we operate and work together, and how we operate and work together out in the community. What does that look like in an ever-changing world? What does that look like when Jesus Christ is that gospel and the gospel is Jesus Christ? And we say that we are the centre with Christ and Christ is the centre with us. John 15, if you like, where Jesus says, remain in me and I in you, just as I remain in the Father and the Father remains in me also. What does that look like to be part of that? And I want us to picture for a moment starlings, a murmuration, if you like. I'm sure you've seen them. I did have a video, but unfortunately, copyright and all that kind of stuff, you can't really show it. But you've seen these before. You know what it's like. The amazing facts of a murmuration. The murmuration comes from the name of the flapping of the wings, the sound that it makes. The starlings gathering at dusk, flying in these mesmerizing formations of up to speeds of 50 miles an hour. And yet not once colliding into each other. They flow in these mesmerizing displays. They come together as a huge group. They separate out, as you can see in that picture, and then come back together. An ever flow of coming and of going, but yet knowing what is going on all around them, their surroundings, their senses and what have you, not once crashing in together. The flow back and forth, all in union, all in harmony. And I refer to this simply because it displays the confidence and the trust in each other. The humility that they have as they get along, and it reveals that they are listening and watching for each other, whilst, as I said, understanding their surroundings, still flying at around 50 miles an hour. And yet, we heard in our passage also that the Roman centurion demonstrated faith in another, in Christ Jesus. And the interesting thing here is this passage, it marks the turning point within Luke's gospel, when you see it as a whole and you follow it through, of Jesus's ministry. Up to this point, Jesus has dealt exclusively with Jewish people. Here, he begins to include the Gentiles also, this once and for all, if you like. And whilst we have that understanding of that, there's a flow to the narrative. Notice who the characters are in this short drama. We have the Jewish elders, a Roman centurion, the centurion's servant, all very different racial, religious backgrounds, vastly different in their understandings and standing upon the social ladder, if you like. But yet we clearly see Jesus break through those barriers with great ease. He comes to all and to each and to everyone. There's the reason why he breaks through the barriers and all the way to the sick man's need is because Jesus himself crosses those barriers of the ethnic, of the racial, of the religious. And he did not come to welcome artificial divisions. He came to burst through them and create that unity together. He simply reached out to those that he came to save. And as we see that, as we read that, a person of great humility asked for help from Jesus. And the amazing thing is, it came from the heart. And all around the people saying, as you read this passage, is that this centurion is worthy of this help. But yet also you hear the centurion saying that he isn't worthy. He sent word. He couldn't go himself because he didn't think himself worthy enough even to be in the presence of Jesus. And so he sent word instead for himself. The humility of the heart of the gospel is Jesus. And what we see was in this narrative is that The heart matters. Coming right before God matters. Being healed and restored in faith through Christ Jesus matters. Having the confidence and the understanding to trust in God, even when you think he's not with you. And I'm sure we can stand here for hours and each give a testimony of where we felt God sometimes isn't with us. But yet there's got to be that understanding that he is. Understanding that when we hear of testimonies from others, when we read scripture on a regular basis, begin to believe and understand and ask for help from Holy Spirit to open that up to us, to unlock, if you like, the truth. Because as Jesus himself says, believe and the truth will set you free. That God is always with us. And yet, as we see, that's why we can understand this passage from a different lens, I believe, that the Roman centurion didn't come to Jesus and he didn't expect Jesus to come to him, just as this officer didn't need to be present to have his orders carried out, as it says. And so Jesus didn't need to be present to heal. The centurion's faith was especially amazing because he was a Gentile who had not been brought up knowing of a loving God, as it says in verse 9. And that's where Jesus is amazed by that. It's where we begin to see the significance that we too can flow harmoniously together. We too can begin to see the need for change within ourselves, personally, with our relationship with Christ. As Jan was saying earlier, about wanting to become better within that. And it's not to beat ourselves up, but it's to work at that more, because it's a two-way thing. Often it does amaze me when people say, I'm waiting for God to just show me this or to do it. And I often say, do you not think that God's waiting for you to maybe get up and move and do something about that? And when you're on that path, when you're on that journey, then you begin to see. Then maybe God is beginning to speak and show a different way for you. We begin to see that significance. We can see it where in an ever-shifting world, that confidence in Christ and sharing with others who will listen. We see that within this story also. And seeing that the landscape has changed, and to quote Dallas Willard, as we see that, two questions he asks. How do you go about making disciples, and is it working? How do you go about making disciples, and is it working? Reflect on those two questions at the moment. If there's one where you look at it and think, how do I go about making disciples? Well, I'm not. The second question's easy. No, it's not working. But if you are, in a sense of going out, having that trust and that confidence and flowing harmoniously with Christ and being guided and seeking to save others, how is that working? What do we need to come back and look at in an ever-changing landscape throughout the years? And so as we reflect on that, as we've been looking, as we look at the history of the church, right back from the early church, and you remember a few weeks back, almost a month back, more than a month back, we've been looking at the early church and the spread of the gospel, of how it had that unique relationship with Christ, and how it was spreading and seeing thousands, hundreds and thousands adding to their numbers, sometimes on a daily basis. People dying for their faith, literally. But yet it grew and it expanded. And then we come to the point of established church, if you like, where things change radically. We know that certainly in England, around 1700s, the printing press, and where all the different denominations began to emerge out, like baptism, Baptists and what have you, around 1645. And how there was the emergence of difference because it didn't want to stay with the traditional, and there was great upset within that. And how over more recent years, things have changed even more. Things have crept into and made it something that it isn't. And we spoke a bit about that a couple of weeks ago. But what does it look like to be an emerging church? What's it look like to be an emerging church that may be small, agile, viral, fluid, empowered, connected? What does that begin to look like? Because that's where we begin to buck the trend. That's where we sometimes celebrate the smallness. For the past 40, 50 years maybe, there's been this influx from more Western places, and I'll say it, more side of America, that has blown into this big and great and huge. And that's what it's all about. And if you've not got churches over 200-300, then you're failing. But yet, you look at the response of how people keep within their faith within that. And there's rapid decline there also. There's people that fall from great heights because they get ideas above their stations. I'm not saying it's all bad, don't get me wrong. Personally, sometimes I have an issue with that, but that's my own issue to deal with. But actually, what you look at and where places are changing is the small and the significant, where it's viral, where it's agile, where it's fluid, and where it's connected and empowered. And quite often you don't see that in these larger scales. It is about empowering the small and the uniqueness of that. The twos and threes where they're gathered, empowered and doing great things. It's where I shared a good time ago now, and I'm hoping that it will come sometime in the new year. Peter Dunn, who's director of Big Life, who is director of BMS World Mission, and where he, in Big Life, established it out in India. And where with just one person set up a discipleship movement group, who then went and shared the gospel with somebody, who then turned around and said, I want to learn more. So he said, well, come, can I bring someone? Yeah, of course you can. The next week, 2 or 3 came. The week after, 10 or 20 came. The week after that, 40 or 50 came. And on it grows. And over the last 20 years, and Peter will hopefully share more of that, he's turning around and saying now that there's something like 30 to 40,000 people have come to faith and set these groups up and are ever growing. All that starts small. All that are fluid, all that are agile, connected and empowered to see the gospel grow and see the gospel spread, because the heart of the gospel is Jesus. And it seems the more that we do that, the more confidence, the more obedience that we have in terms of making disciples and seeing that grow. And from that, we may draw up habits. There's two ways we can look at that. There's a habit of revolution where we start and stop things, new programs all the time. Sometimes that works, don't get me wrong. But often, sometimes it's the things that we start is the very things that will kill us off, because we don't emerge with it. We just keep it as it is. And no, we're not changing it. It's going as it is. And we'll just keep doing new programs and adding on and adding on. Or there's that way of evolution where we evolve what is and what can be. Sometimes it can work in parallel. I guess one way of that, if you like, a great example in evolving stuff is the Warm Space Project that we had last year. I still personally say it was a nut of failure. And I was really disappointed the weeks in, weeks out that we sat there, and some of you here sat there also, and we shared our dismay at why people aren't coming in. But yet out of that grew Lunch Club. And out of that, we're regularly seeing 20 to 30 people on a weekly basis come, hearing the gospel, sharing in fellowship, sharing with one another, doing life together, being what may have been small, but fluid, agile, connected, and empowered to see that grow, and it growing it is. And so there's those parallel tracks, if you like. The parallel tracks where we certainly look into, as we discern together, the plan of action of that we which will take us forward, and there'll be more on that soon. But we focus on Jesus. We see joy in service. We see that joy, if you like, in what Paul says in what's that one up there? What Paul says in Philippians 2, where he reminds the people to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ and to be in relationship with one another. Having the mindset of Christ, referring to what Jesus himself says, as recorded in Matthew, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And where he also turns round and says that you will find rest for your soul. For my... Have I gone wrong here? I have, haven't I? Too far, sorry. Where he turns around and says, find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we look at that, when we stop charging around, when we stop trying to create big and fanciful things, but look at the connectiveness and empowerment and being small and viral and agile. And we take upon and learn from Christ. Then we find that the burden is light and the yoke is easy. And as we reflect on that, reminder of what God is calling us to, as we seek that together, to go and make disciples. And if we need the answers, then we look to God in his presence and in his time to show us the way forward. When we look at that in the presence and in the rest of God, we then begin to get a bird's eye view, if you like, of the landscape before us, of what's going on, what's gone before and what's coming. You recall back in Exodus 33, where Moses called upon God again, seeking guidance for the people in the wilderness. God's reply to him was short, but profound. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest, he says. And in that, there was able to take time to see the way forward, not rushing into things, seeing God more clearly in including themselves. And as we do that in ourselves, in seeing how that takes us forward, providing space to seek our calling, to seek understanding in that, to be able to do that individually and corporately together. But in order that we trust one another with the challenges, to know that when he does call us, the places that he'll take us to, he equips us, but also the importance of being rooted in Christ Jesus. It allows us that space and that time to be humble, to come alongside each other. We're reminded in Psalm 107, where there's the redeemed have a story to tell of one that changes lives beyond all measure, of one where it speaks of the heart of the gospel. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east, the west, the north, and the south. And as you know, towards the end of it, it says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. It's about that journey that we're on with together. Journeying with others to be an accompanier, to help other people face the landscape with a profound story of Christ Jesus. It's where, again, we see Jesus working through others. Reminded in that story of the centurion, where he sends his people, he never meets the man. And Jesus never meets the centurion. But it all takes place through others, and still healing comes. Gospel simply told. It's where it all takes place through others. And in particular, as we've talked about fire starters, the book that we've been reading for as a leadership team, On This Rock, and if people want a copy of it, let us know because we can get hold of them. Written by Alex Harris and Chrissy Renberg. What they simply say in this of the seven principles and the model of achievable habits for church growth, and in particular one of the chapters, it says that it's the gospel simply told. What we have come to believe about this principle is that if you declare the gospel simply and consistently told, God will send you people because he knows they will hear about Jesus in your place. God will do the work, and he will bring those who will be receptive to hear about him. This is where it comes about in terms of people hearing the gospel. Because when we're consistent in simply sharing the gospel, people's lives will be changed. Let's just pause on that for a moment. Let's just think about that. When we begin to understand what God is calling us to, not just individually but corporately together, then we begin to see ways ahead. When we rest in his presence and we take upon his yoke, if we like, we're able to get that bird's eye view, a bigger picture, a changing landscape, but we're able to view the landscape to see where God may be leading us into. And then when we do that in confidence and in power of the Holy Spirit, remembering of what we spoke of in our series in Acts, that each of the people that were transforming lives were full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Faithful people, dedicating and serving to let people know of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at all that, we're listening and understanding and focus on Jesus, being humble in our walk with God through him, and then being able to go on the journey that he sends us, knowing that it's about making disciples, to see how that's working, to see where that leads us, and to look at an ever-changing landscape. So what does an emerging church for us look like in today's reality? How do we step back and get that bird's eye view of that journey, gaining the better understanding of the landscape? What about the emerging church that needs to be agile, viral, fluid, connected? What does that really look like? But above all, remembering that the heart of the gospel is Jesus Christ, nothing else and no one else. No other gospel but the gospel of Christ. With all that said, with all that we've looked at, all this based around the framework from the work that's been done, seeking to redirect, be more confident and comfortable as we simply share the gospel, seeking God's kingdom grow. I believe God is calling us in this ever-changing landscape, in this ever-changing world. We too need to be prepared to walk with that, to change if necessary. It's not always necessary, but sometimes it is. Are we able to sometimes let go and let God? Are we able to work together in great confidence, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, to be guided and to be led into seeing people come to faith and their lives transformed simply through sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, as we think about that, as we concentrate on that, we also come around the table. Because none of what I have said has ever been possible if it hadn't been for the great sacrifice that Jesus himself made. None of what we do here would make any sense if we don't simply believe that our lives are filled with Christ and that it is he that died upon that cross, that he truly walked this earth all those years ago, that he truly did what he said he did, what was accounted for what he did. And many of us may not have a problem with that. And maybe there's people watching at home that think, yeah, there's historical evidence of that. Where people often get tied up is that the fact that he rose from the dead, is alive and lives forevermore for the power of the resurrection. And we can stand confident for those that have Jesus at our centre, of knowing what he did for us is true, that he lives and reigns forevermore, not only within us individually, but within all of us corporately together. Jesus himself said that he would not drink of the vine until he can drink it afresh and anew with us when he calls us to glory. And so we simply gather around his table. It's he who invites us. We come in this act of remembrance, of remembering the sacrifice that he made, his body that was given, his blood that was shed in these elements of bread and of wine. So let's pray. With thankful hearts, with thanksgiving, Lord, we just want to lift your name up on high. Lord, we've said a lot there in reminding us that the heart of the gospel is you, Jesus. And that none of this is possible without ultimately your sacrifice in life, in death, and in the resurrected life, and in life to come. So, Father God, we thank you that there is a way to you. We thank you that we come empty-handed, but not with empty hearts. We come longing to be filled, not only physically, but spiritually more so. As we feast upon this bread and on this wine, we do so with thanksgiving of hearts, remembering of that great sacrifice, of what that means to us personally, of how, Lord, you came into our lives, however long ago that was. And Lord, I pray if there's people here or maybe watching that haven't made that journey, then again, as Jan reminded us here this morning, here is that opportunity to do so. So Lord, in a quiet moment, we just lift those things from our minds, maybe from our hearts, that prevent us from coming to you, that maybe turn us in a different direction away from you. Those things that we may have said or done that may not be worthy or right with you in our lives. Lord, we call that sin. And we ask your forgiveness for it. So in this moment, we just quietly lift that to you now. Heavenly Father, we're reminded that you are a God that listens and you are a God that acts. And so, Father God, we pray that you hear our cries to you. You hear that we confess those things that we may have said or done. And in the trueness from our hearts, we seek to turn away from that and to be more faithful, to be more Christ-like in our daily walk. Lord, would you afford us the understanding of knowing that we are forgiven? But above all than that, in power of Holy Spirit, would you enable us to refrain from doing these things, to turn and to be more in walk and in tune with you? We ask this in your name. Amen. And so we recall on that night in the upper room, Jesus with his disciples as they was having a meal. He sat there and he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Eat in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying that this is the new covenant, which is my blood poured out for you. Drink, each of you, in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we do so in acknowledgement of the Lord and in his death and in his resurrection. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these elements. May we receive them now with thankful hearts, knowing of that great cost and of that great sacrifice for us now and for in the life to come. We give you all the glory and honour. Amen. Come, take each of you that would like to. This bread is gluten-free. This is Ribena juice. Please take, eat the bread as you receive it. Retain and hold the cup for afterwards and we'll drink as a sign of our unity. If for whatever reason you don't want to, just allow the elements to pass you by without any fear or embarrassment. And so let us, with thankful hearts, raise the cup, the one cup, which Christ poured out his blood once and for all. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we can be found at your table. We thank you that we are able to join in this time of remembrance for all that you have done for us. Let us go from here this week with thankful hearts, journeying with those, Lord, that you guide us upon. Help us in moments to take rest in your presence, to seek from that landscape the bigger picture. And Lord, as we journey ever closer together, may we do so full of the power of the Holy Spirit that brings you glory, that lifts your name on high, that you will draw all your people to yourself, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank
you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we pray for a blessed week where you are the centre of our lives. Never let us forget that. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will go out with us today and be with us wherever we go and whoever we meet. Let us share your name in the name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Shall we finish with the grace?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.